Hallelujah. This morning I want to, This morning I want to share a message that I feel is really important at the moment. For us as believers, it is extremely important for us to be able to walk in total freedom. How many of you want to walk in total freedom? The path to freedom is very clear and has actually been made very, very plain for us to see in Scripture. And this morning I want to dive into that. But before we dive into what true freedom looks like, let's talk about what it isn't. True freedom is not economic freedom, as much as economic freedom is a good thing. True freedom is not political freedom, as much as political freedom is a good thing. True freedom is the freedom that you find in Christ. True freedom is also not rebellion. Many times in the church, people think that true freedom is just the ability to do whatever you want, and that's not true. That's not true freedom. True freedom is a freedom that can only come to us through Christ. But I want to show you a few things this morning and then take you on a journey, on a path to freedom that's in Scripture, in a story that I believe can help us see it in a plain, plain way. So let's start this morning in John 8, verse 31. John 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we can see that one of the things that causes us to walk in freedom is truth. The truth of God's word, his truth, gives us the ability to walk in freedom. This morning, it just so happened that I tuned into Pastor Harold's sermon from South Africa, my pastor. And every now and then on Sunday mornings when I get up really early, I pray and prepare. And then I'll just tune into his sermon to see if we're on the same page, you know. And it just so happened that I just caught like a minute of it. And he was talking about how, you know, when someone plots a course to the moon, if they plot the course off by just like an inch, how many of you know they're going to miss the moon by quite a bit? Because that track will just go shoop right past it. It's important for us to understand that that's how the truth is. There is only one truth. And anything outside of the truth is not going to get us to the destination that each and every one of us truly want, which is freedom. True freedom. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from sin. Freedom from loneliness. Freedom from so many things. The only one who can truly set us free is Jesus. But included in that is the truth. Now it's interesting, take a look at how the people respond to him. So they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." You shall be free indeed. I think many times Christians have the same mentality. Well, you know, I'm a Christian, so because I'm a Christian, I'm free. And the reality is yes, you're free because you're a Christian, but it's the truth in you as well. So yes, we're free because we're made free in Christ. In Christ, if we abide in him, then he abides in us and we're free. But at the same time, if he truly abides in us, then his word has to abide in us as well. The truth sets you free. Being in him sets you free. You see, you're either set free by the Son, or you're in bondage, you're a slave. One of the two. And if you don't follow the Son's truth as well, just that little bit off, you can end up being completely off. And so we'll take a look at this as we dive deeper. Let's go to Luke 4, verse 16. Luke 4, verse 16. I want to show you the significance of the mandate that Jesus was given. He came to set us free. And we read this very often, but sometimes we don't look at the depth of freedom that Jesus wants to give us. So let's take a look. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Now, I want you to keep in mind that it's him that sets us free, and it's the truth, his word, that sets us free. Those are the two things. We have to be in him, and we have to accept the truth. So the first thing it says, when it says and it speaks about what he came to do, he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. But now take a look. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The word heal in the Greek means to heal. It means to make free. So immediately we see that he came to make free, to heal our broken heart. In fact, the word could also be used to say to cure your heart. To cure your heart, to make your heart free. See, the plan of God has always been to restore us and to set us free. The second thing I want to show you is he says to proclaim liberty to the captives. The word liberty in the Greek means to release. So to release you, to release you, to release you as a captive, to pardon you, to let you go. Can you say amen? To let the captives go, to proclaim liberty to the captives. It's powerful. A captive is a prisoner, someone that is in prison. We can be in prison. Even as Christians, we can be in prison to sin because we haven't chosen the truth. Amen. And we'll get to it in just a moment. Just hang in there. Then he says to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Oppressed is the Greek word that means to be broken, to be shattered, to be broken in pieces is literally what it means. So when you're oppressed, you're being broken, you're being shattered. Your life can feel like it's being broken in pieces. And I want to say that even Christians that have been walking with the Lord a long time experience those things. In their journey with God, in some other way, they find themselves being oppressed. They find themselves being held captive by some force in some other way. Their heart gets broken. Come on, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're immune to the things of this world that can harm you. So Jesus said, listen, in me, I will set you free. But the other thing that sets you free is the truth. So when we're on our journey with God, what is the path that we can take? If you're sitting here as a believer, or maybe not a believer, what is the path to freedom? What is the path to freedom? Now, Jesus has given us a glimpse of that already. But this story, which we all know so well, which is a beautiful story in Scripture. Let's go to Luke 15, verse 11. We'll take it from there. Luke 15, verse 11. I'm giving you a path to freedom. We all know the story. Let me read it to you. Luke 15, 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." And so he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So he wasted everything his father had given him. Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Listen, it's bad now. The guy's now feeding pigs. Are you guys with me? And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. I want to ask you a question. At this point of the story, is he any less a son of the father? He is still a son, but look at where he is. He's at a place of desperation where he's hoping he can eat the food that the pigs eat. But he's still a son. Even though he's strayed away from the Father, he is still a son. Now watch. Verse 17, here comes point number one. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? All of a sudden, in the midst of his trauma, something happens to him. The Bible says that he came to himself. What does that mean? That means that he admitted that he was wrong. See, what happens in our journey with God is when we don't accept truth, we can end up going astray. If we stay on that path of being astray, I want you to know that even though you may be a believer, you can get yourself into a situation where you've allowed something that isn't truth to have access to your life. And the starting point of freedom is when you admit that, listen, I'm going on the wrong path here. So it's basically taking an untruth and saying, right, this is wrong. I need to accept truth. So what happened to the prodigal son is he came to himself. He finally came to his senses and was like, you know what? I've messed up. I've gone the wrong way. I've made the wrong choices. Guys, this is the beginning of freedom for any person. Someone that doesn't know the Lord and someone even that's walking with the Lord that's maybe in a position or posture of some form of bondage. The starting point is admitting that, listen, I messed up. Come to your senses. That's the first thing. The next thing in verse 18, it says this, I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. He says, and before you. There are two keys here. And both of them are so important. The first thing that we always do when we mess up is we go to the Father, our Heavenly Father. And we go to heaven and we say, Lord, we've messed up and I want to come to you. I want to run to you. I accept Jesus. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Your word is truth. What I chose to do, this thing that I chose to follow, this path that I chose to take, it wasn't truth. I choose your truth. I admit that I was wrong. I confess it. I bring it before you. Forgive me. And guess what? He's going to do it. And many Christians do that part. But many of them don't do the second part. You see, there are twofold repentances here. The first is to heaven, and the second is to the individual that they offended or that they hurt. Take a look at what the scriptures say. Let's go in our Bibles to Matthew 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. I don't think that Christians really realize the impact of this in our lives. How unforgiveness or unresolved issues or conflicts with others can so affect your journey to restoration, healing, and freedom. See, freedom is not fighting with someone in church, then the next week you come and stand in the front, you're dancing, you and all your demons together that you've held on to. True freedom is having the ability to recognize, listen, there's a conflict here between me and my brother. I need to make right with him. It doesn't matter if forget about your pride. Put it away, guys. Because your pride's not going to set you free. But if you let go of whatever the hurt is, whatever the pain is, and do your part to reconcile, you can't do more than your part. If someone refuses to accept your reconciliation, you have done your part. But you must attempt to do it. Well, you know, say you're sorry. Just say you're sorry. No, I'm not going to say, no, I'm not going to do it. No, 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 no. Well, guess what? There's an open door. You cannot walk in freedom, guys. Man, I've been tested in this over the last couple of years. I've had people come against me so heavy, and man, I want to just fivefold ministry. Not laying on of hands, a punch in the nose. That's what I'm talking about. But I know, and I've admitted it, I know what the enemy's strategy is to harden my heart. But instead of my heart being hardened, I say, Lord, what is it that I need to do? Because I don't want to hold on to something. You see, grace is the most beautiful thing. And one of the most amazing definitions of grace I've heard is that grace gives you what you do not deserve. The reality is, though, in order to receive grace, it has to flow through you. What do I mean by that? You see, grace is not like a dam, it's a river. And in order to keep receiving, it has to go through. What does the Bible say? Father, forgive us our trespasses conditionally, as we forgive them who trespass against us. You have no right to your offense. Why? Because you have offended greatly. But grace is flowing. Hurt and pain, is it real? Yes. It's awful. It's horrible when people come against you. It's horrible when they falsely accuse you. It's horrible when they harm you and they can't even see it. They're as blind as a bat. And they think they're so righteous. Meanwhile, they are not righteous. If I was God, I'd smite them. Smite them. Just like that. Boom. Just like, and that'd be the end of that. But the problem is, I can't be going, God, smite them. And then the next minute say, Lord, but please forgive me for my sins. Lord, please, I want to walk in freedom. I want to experience the fullness of what you have for me. But Lord, that guy, you saw what he did. Smite him. What am I doing? I'm cutting off the flow of grace. See, it's if my truth abides in you. Yes, we all know the Lord. Most of us in this room, most of us have accepted that the only way to true life and freedom is Jesus. But even with that, we don't really comprehend the fullness of it because we all have a slave mentality. When the reality is when you come to Christ, you are no longer a slave. You are a son. But the son in the story's path to redemption started with an admittance. He had to come to his own senses and get to the place where he recognized that he was wrong. He could have spoken about the guy that stole his money, and he could have spoken about the guy that treated him badly and put him in the pen, but the only thing he did was, the wrong that I've done, I need to make right. So I repent to heaven, and I also repent to my father who harmed me, my father who I sinned against. Do you guys see it? Let's take a look. Let's go on. Are you guys okay this morning in Vero Beach? Amen. John 5:16 says this, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The word healed there in the Greek actually means to be freed. To be free. See, God forgives us when we go to him, but freedom doesn't come until we sometimes confess, speak, get the thing sorted out, get it out. The light shines in the darkness. Don't allow the enemy to hold the darkness in your life. Let the light come in and expose it so that it's broken, so that you can be set free from that thing. So let's go back to our story in Luke. Luke 15. Let's pick it up in verse 18. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And he has this mentality. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You have to understand that before this took place, the son had to come to his senses. He had to confess that, listen, I was going the wrong way. I made the wrong choices. But as soon as the father saw that he had truly repented, which means he had truly changed his mind and knew that he needed his father. And when he was walking towards his father didn't even wait for him. He saw him coming. And I want you to know that your Father in heaven is just like that with you. He's waiting for you. Because why? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He wants to set you free. You don't have to carry that hurt. You don't have to carry that pain. You don't have to carry that offense. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. See, every one of those garments and items represents something spiritually. Isaiah 61:10 says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and covered me with the robe of righteousness. You see, what happens is, because we're in Christ and because we're with the Father, he clothes us with the robe of righteousness. So we are his. He gives us a ring. The ring signifies our authority. So God restores your authority. See, how many of you know that when you're in that bad place, it feels like when you say something, it's like you have no authority. But when you're walking with the Lord, when you're in Christ, there's authority and it's yours. And he says in Genesis 41, verse 40, this is Joseph with Pharaoh, an example of the ring of authority. It says, you shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed in a garment of fine linen and put gold chains around his neck. Hallelujah. That ring signified the authority that we have when we are with God, when we are in Christ. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have authority over any dark force, over any spiritual power that comes against you. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Abide in me and abide in my word. If you walk in truth, if you walk in truth and you allow yourself to allow grace to not only flow into you, but also through you, you will walk and experience that freedom, guys. You will walk and experience that freedom. Now let's go. Let's just finish the story real quick. Okay, wait, there's one more thing. The next thing he gives him is sandals. Sandals signifies the difference between sonship and servanthood. You see, the sandals had to be placed on his feet because the servants didn't have sandals. But when his son came back and said, listen, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I just want to be one of your hired servants. He said, listen, you are not a servant to me. You are a son to me. And you need to understand that the son has set you free. And because you've been set free, now you too are a son and a daughter of Christ and of God. And because you are a son and a daughter, you are not a servant. And even when you mess up, when you come back to him, he restores your authority. He puts the robe of righteousness on you. And let me tell you something. No matter where you are in your journey, sandals signify the difference between sons and servants. And we'll get back to where I was because I was in a good place, but now I'm gone from there. So we'll get back there. Verse 23, he says, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Listen, the son was no less the son when he strayed away. In your journey with God, you may stray away at seasons, but understand it's when you make that choice to accept truth, when you understand that you are truly a son. Watch this. Let's go back to John 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." You shall be free indeed. Because you have accepted Jesus, you qualify for sonship. You qualify to be his child. Take a look at this. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him," who's him? Jesus. "To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. But he said to them, listen, the only way you can truly be free is to abide in truth. If you really accept me, who am I? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. For you to experience freedom, you must decide with your whole heart to follow Jesus and to choose his truth. Stray away or turn away from those things that are holding you back, those offenses, those hurts. There is nothing more crippling than for a Christian than offense, hurt, or bitterness. And the worst part is that most of the time we can't even see it, guys. But the truth is, when you run back to the Father, you need to understand that you have already been made a child of God. And that the robe of righteousness is yours. That the ring that signifies authority is yours. And the sandals that separate you between sonship and slavehood are already yours. The question is, will you make that choice to admit that maybe you've been going the wrong direction? Will you make that decision to repent to heaven and make right with whatever it is that's causing you to be in that place? And then my only advice from that point is run to him with all of your heart. Because when you run to him and you've done that, I want you to know, because he knows that you have chosen truth, he comes running towards you. Joey, good job. When I was praying this week about what to minister this weekend, it's like all I could hear was, tell my people that they are free. Tell them to choose freedom. It's not dancing, guys. Dancing is like you can dance and be free, yes. But that's not what true freedom is. True freedom is when you accept Jesus, when you choose truth, and you walk in it. Freedom can be a process, because sometimes it's like kind of like this. When you give your life to Jesus, the house becomes his. Your house becomes his. But sometimes the house needs to be cleaned out. And some of the tenants that lived there before, you want them out. But if you keep allowing them in your house, they have a place there. The house, yes, it belongs to the Lord. But that room or that place that you've given access to those things that are causing you to not experience true freedom, you have to arrive at that place like the son did, where he came to his senses and admitted, listen, I'm going in the wrong direction. I believe that there are people here this morning, maybe watching online, and maybe you've walked with the Lord before, but you know that you've strayed away and you've chosen to accept things that are not truth, and you've walked in those untruths. Yes, you're a Christian, but you know you don't have freedom, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you walk with him, guys, and you know him and he knows you. And you have that relationship. That's freedom. But not being free and walking in bondage and just having the title Christian, for me, it's not good enough. I want my whole house to be filled with the peace of God. I want my house to be a house of peace, a house of healing, a house of restoration, a house of salvation, a house where people come and encounter the Lord. So that means if that's my house, that means wherever I go, that goes with me. Why? Because I'm free. I'm free in him. I'm free to worship. I'm free to follow. And I know where I'm going. But I don't want to just be free to go to heaven. I want to be free right here on earth and experience His goodness and His mercy every single day. Last night, I ministered a message. It's a very simple message, but I really advise you to go listen to it. Because I spoke about how you, God wants to meet with you. And sometimes I feel like we overcomplicate it. Like there's a method to God meeting us. If you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, then heaven will open, and then the Lord will come. Listen, I've had some of the most beautiful encounters with God when suddenly I shut my eyes in the midst of my kids with their hockey sticks and the TV and everything, and I put those earpods in. Thank God for noise cancellation. Close my eyes, and I feel the Holy Spirit. And I say, Lord, I'm listening. And He speaks to me in just a moment. And I have that encounter with Him. Why is that any less valuable than any other encounter? God wants to meet with you daily. He wants to meet with you, but sometimes it feels like He's gone silent when actually the problem is we are not walking in truth. We've deceived ourselves and think that we can just hold on to these things, offenses especially, and things against our brothers and sisters that we've held on to. I've had to walk this out. It hasn't been easy always. I'm still walking it out. But I want nothing to compromise that reality. And the truth is this, is that the Father is waiting for you. He is waiting for you to run to Him. And I can tell you, He won't wait for you to run all the way. He'll come running to you. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment? If you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, this message this morning has ministered to my heart. I'm one of those that used to walk with the Lord, but I've kind of followed untruth. And this morning I choose truth. And I want to run back to the Father. I want to give my heart back to Him, my life back to Him. If that's you, can I see your hand real quick so I can pray for you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you over there. Thank you so much. God bless you over there. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. I need to run back to the Father. I've been following things that have been untrue, but this morning I want to give my whole heart back to Him. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. If you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I have never known a relationship with God. Well, I want to tell you that Jesus makes it plain. He says that if you choose Him and you choose His truth, He will come to you. And the same way that in the story, the Father's waiting for a restoration, you also can be restored to Him. And if you make a decision this morning to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to know there's a robe of righteousness, a ring of authority, and sandals of sonship that are waiting for you. You can be a part of His family. If that's you and you say, Pastor, that's me, I want to give my heart to Jesus this morning, raise your hand. I'll include you in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Anybody? God bless you over there. Thank you so much. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me? Just raise your hands and I'll include you. God bless you. Many hands went up. Can I ask everyone that raised their hands, quickly stand for me. Don't be afraid. Quickly stand. God bless you guys. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Quickly stand up. There were many of you that raised your hands. Don't be afraid. Stand up, guys. God bless you guys. In the back there, God bless you. Come stand. Stand. Can I ask you, come, ma'am. Come quickly to me. Come, guys. Come to me quickly. Come. Come. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Don't stay in your seat. Come to me quickly. I just quickly want to pray for you. This is such a sacred moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you, man. You are so welcome here. And God is going to touch your heart and restore you this morning, young man. It's a new beginning, hey? It's a new beginning. Precious lady, the Lord wants to restore your heart this morning. He wants to touch you and He wants to save you and deliver you this morning. Amen. Come and stand over here, guys. Come and join in over here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you guys, man. You are so welcome here. God bless you. Hey, little guy. How you doing? God bless you guys, man. Amen. We're going to pray a prayer together this morning. But the thing about this prayer is you can't just speak the words. The Bible says you must confess with your mouth, but also believe in your heart. So it has to be a heart decision this morning to follow Jesus, to make your way back to Him if that's what you're doing, to choose Him this morning with your whole heart, and the Bible says you'll be saved. You can be restored this morning and made whole. So let's pray this together. Church, let's all pray with Him. Let's say, Father, I come to You this morning. I believe Jesus died and rose again. He's the Son of God. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in Your blood. Jesus, today I make You my Lord and I make You my Savior. Holy Spirit, come and fill me up. I want to walk with You today, Lord, and for the rest of my life, in Jesus' name. So, Father, I pray for them right now that You touch them, let them never be the same again. Never the same, never the same. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Never the same. Never the same, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Never the same. And we give You all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys standing over here, there's somebody behind you that wants to meet you and just pray with you. And if you look over there, there's Pastor Davidson. And you can just follow him out. We'd love to just connect with you guys. Thank you so much. Come on, church. Let's give them a big God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Amen. Every life is so valuable to Him. Amen. I pray the Lord bless you. That He keep you, that He make His face shine upon you, that He be gracious to you, that He give you peace in this week. May His favor be upon you. We love you guys so much. Have an awesome week, and we will see you next week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.